You know, there are just times that we can come under the influence of the enemy and we just really don't recognize it. You could be sitting out there right now trying to listen to me, and all of the time you got this devil sitting there in your ears trying to convince you for whatever reason not to listen to what's being said here. Let me say this first of all. I am just a knucklehead that learned how to pray. That's all I am. That's all I am. I just learned how to pray. I'm nobody special. I just heard a message a long time ago, and it changed me forever. And I realized all I have to do is pray in tongues and be changed. And somewhere along the way, he managed, through my praying, to bring me to a place that I could stand here and let him speak through me to you. I don't know how that happens. All I know is I pray. I am absolutely nobody special. Absolutely. If I could tell you just how ordinary I am, yeah, I was the kid in high school that wanted to be one of the special ones, but I wasn't. And it's taken me a long time to come to the realization that I'm average in myself. I'm just an average person. Average intelligence. When I hear Gary speak sometimes, and I think, my goodness, how blessed we are. But Gary's the same way. He'll say he's just average too. Because it's not in ourselves. It's the change that we're so desperately trying to encourage you to partake in, that change, so that you can be a person that he can flow through as well. That doesn't mean that you're going to be standing in front of people speaking. I'm not saying that. But what it does mean is he has a unique course for your life, unique to you, that only you can fill. And the absolute only way that you are ever going to realize the fullness of your potential is to plant yourself and pray in tongues. It's the only way. Not because I said it. Not because Dave Roberson said it. It's because the Word of God says it. It's because God, in His infinite intelligence and wisdom, said, I'm going to give to my people a way in which all they have to do is to sit down, pray in this heavenly language, and I'll do the rest. Praise God, I can't screw that up. I can screw a lot of stuff up, but that I can't mess up. That's one thing that I can do, and you can do, and everybody can do. And it has absolutely nothing to do with works. I'm not earning anything the time that I sit and do this. I'm changing. And it's not the hours that I sit there and do that he fellowships with. It's the change that takes place on the inside of me. He fellowships with the change. It's so simple. How can we mess this up? We can't. Unless we start saying, oh, it's works, or you're trying to earn something. No, we're not. We're just doing what the Bible says. And we're being changed as a result. I've sensed some things at different times when I've preached and when I've sat there and listened to other people preach and experienced attack in my mind. I want you to just open yourself up right now and receive. I mean, if you want to, I can show you a notebook with all the hours that I prayed before I stood up here. If that's important to you, for you to justify in your mind that I'm qualified to stand here and deliver this, I'll show you. But I don't think that's necessary. We trust the message. We trust what the change that is produced in a person by doing this. And all I can tell you is, I've done this and I continue to do it. So receive today from what the Holy Ghost has for you. Receive. And all the time that I'm spending with the Lord now, and I find out, you know, that I have, you know, the next service, fortunately now, I generally get a few days advance notice, which is a little better than a few minutes advance notice. So, and all that time I'm sitting here praying, thinking, okay, Lord, I know anytime you're just going to show me exactly what I'm going to be preaching. Anytime I'm ready, I've got my pen here and I'm ready to write. I'm meditating the word, I'm praying. Okay, Lord, it's Saturday night. Did you know what time it is? And I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting, Lord. But I'm realizing all the time that in all of my meditation, that He's directing me to the scriptures that He wants inside of me, that He can pull from at any second. And He doesn't want me to choreograph how this comes out. I'd sure like to. Because has anybody ever done public speaking? Raise your hand. Do you know when you stand up in front of people and speak, if you let your mind take control, it's scary. You know, so I have to work to turn my mind off and to listen inside here. And that's the way that's the only way He's letting me do this right now. So this morning, after all this long week, this morning He says, okay, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. Oh, good. No time to make notes. So bear with me. The analogy that He showed me, it's like nothing I've ever heard before. When He showed it to me, and He's continuing to show me more all the time in it, I went and told Debbie, I said, you know, for me, probably, this will be my duck story. Pastor Dave has the analogy of the duck. And everybody knows that analogy so well. For me and my ministry and the rest of my life, what I'm going to share with you today, I believe, is going to be that analogy. Because it's, in any analogy, it's never 100% perfect when you try to apply it. There's some things that you just have to kind of allow a little leeway, okay? But as you hear this today, I think that it's going to shine a light into some areas that you're going to say, I never realized that. We're going to start in Romans. We're going to start in the chapter that if Pastor Dave walked out here right now, he wouldn't need this. And I'm holding up the Bible. He would just sit and start saying it. Well, I'm not him. I have to read it. Just to refresh your memory a little bit as you're turning there. And we will read it. I won't let you sit there with the Bible open on your lap the whole service. Gary said something before he went to Florida. He was talking about how, and he mentioned about the Born Again Trail. And I think if you'll remember, he said, if you don't have the Born Again Trail, and I'm referring to a series of messages that Pastor Dave taught. Let's see, I think it was late 90s, early 2000. Series of messages that he taught. Six series, 10 tapes in each set. It walks you through what it means to be born again. And Gary said, if you don't have that inside of you to the point that you can teach it, and I think he said, you're not ready for prime time yet. Well, I remember whenever Pastor Dave ministered those lessons. I remember getting the series, listening to it over and over and over again, having it inside of me, understanding what did we learn? New nature. We learned that we have a new nature. We learned about the life that's inside of us now. But I am going back listening again to that same teaching. And I have to tell you something. I've grown since then. The things that Pastor Dave would say it then, and it would go right over my head. And I didn't even realize it was going over my head. And now I'm listening to it and thinking, I understand what he's saying now, 10 years later. And I have a feeling that you will too. And I believe that for what Gary is about to go into, we need the Born Again Trail inside of us to understand what Gary is going to teach us. Or what the Holy Ghost through Gary is going to teach us. It ain't going to be me. Because I'm not where he is. But I'm where I am. And I know that I can share something with you today that I believe is going to bless you. So looking at Romans 8. Now from Romans 7 to Romans 8, there's a change in covenant. There's a change in covenant. The individual that's being described in Romans 7 is not a Christian having a bad hair day. Do you understand that? We're not talking about a Christian, a born-again child of God with issues. That's not what Romans chapter 7 is about. Romans chapter 7 is about an unborn-again person, namely a Jew who could not keep the law. And we need to establish that very, very clearly. So let's just go back into chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Here's the struggle. Here's a group of people had no idea they were controlled by a sin nature, as everyone is who's not born again. But God had to pick a client nation. And he picked a man called Abraham. And from his loins, he birthed a nation. And he told this nation, he said, I want you to walk upright before me. I want you to do the very thing that it is impossible for you to do. Why is that? Why would God do that? To ask people to do things they couldn't do. Well, he gave them a law and he said, when you make the mistakes, here's the sacrifices. Here's the law. Here are the things that you're supposed to do. When you mess these things up, I'm going to give you a sacrifice that you can do so that you can again be right with me and continue down the path. But why do that? Well, before he gave them that law, who knew what was right and who knew what was wrong? Nobody. So first of all, he had to tell them, this is right, that's wrong. Do this, don't do that. You got that? Yes, we understand. We'll do it perfectly. Impossible. They couldn't do it perfectly. Then he said, okay, here are the sacrifices. Do this whenever you mess up. So they would do it. All the time God's trying to establish it's impossible with the nature that's inside of you for you to keep this law. Impossible. You'll never do it. You will never do it. Because your nature isn't the nature that can keep this. You're going to have a change in nature in order to be able to keep this. So that's what Romans 7 is all about. Romans 7 is saying, look, Jews, I told you what was right. I told you what was wrong. I gave you the law and I said, keep it. You couldn't do it. As a result, you had to do the sacrifices. You saw in the law what was right. You saw what was wrong. Part of you said, yes, I'm going to keep this. But when it came right down to it, you knew you couldn't. When you saw your neighbor's wife, married Jewish man, you knew that if you touched her, it was going to be bad. But there was nothing inside of you that kept you from doing it. And so you did. And that's what Romans 7 is about. Always remember that. It's not about a born-again person doing wrong things. It's about a person who's never been born again, who has that old nature, that cannot ever, ever do the things that God wants them to do. They can't do it. Then we come into Romans chapter 8. Now here is the change in covenant. This is where it changes, right here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. They don't walk according to a fallen nature because they don't have it anymore. Because they've experienced the new covenant, and now they walk according to their new nature. So they don't walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. And we learned, for those of you who might be new to this, who are listening maybe by the internet, and you have your Bible out, and you're looking at that scripture, and you see the word Spirit has a capital S. We learned in great detail that the same word for the reborn human spirit is the same word for Holy Spirit. And it was only by the discretion of the translators whether or not they used a capital S or a lowercase s. And in this case, King James made a mistake. We're not talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about our reborn human spirit. So verse 2 says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law, and notice it says law. That's something established, permanent, unchanging. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. When you have a fallen nature, the only thing that you are governed by is the law of sin and death. That law governs you. Cannot be changed. You're the subject of it. The only way that you are ever free from it is by receiving the redemption that's in Christ Jesus that we talked about last week in Galatians chapter 2:20, where you're crucified, where you identify with His death, and you receive your freedom and a new nature. And no longer are you governed by a law of sin and death. Now you are governed by a higher law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So I was thinking about this morning. I like to teach with analogies, because I can sit here and read a lot of scriptures to you, and you can go home and wonder what I said. Or I can give you a picture and allow the Holy Ghost to take my words and paint a picture on the inside of you that will stick with you forever. How many of you remember the story about the duck? Do you remember that? Raise your hand. Do you remember the analogy of the duck? Can you see in your mind right now that duck walking around with that whole bunch of chickens? And he's got this bill, and he's trying to peck the ground to get the food from the ground like a chicken. Can you see that? Do you remember that? It's because Pastor Dave drilled that into us over and over and over again. And it was a perfect analogy. So I'm sitting here this morning, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about laws. Laws. What's a law that we can all relate to? How about this one? How about the law of gravity? Here's a law. You can't break the law of gravity. You know, if I'm on top of this stage right here, for those of you listening, I just walked up three stairs on the platform. And I'm going to take that next step out there off of this platform. And the law of gravity, it's not going to affect me. Let's see if that's the case. No, it doesn't work that way. The law of gravity instantly drives me down to the ground, because it's there and it's not changing. Sir Isaac Newton was the one that discovered, and now he didn't create gravity, it was always here. He just discovered it and the laws associated with it. Before he discovered it was here, guess what? It was here. He just discovered it. Now, doesn't that sound like what God did with the Jewish people? Before he showed them sin, what sin is, sin was here, rampant. They just didn't know it. Do you follow me? Not until God said, that's sin. Who knew? Who knew sleeping with your neighbor's wife was wrong? You know, that just seems right to everyone. Who knew lying was wrong? It just seemed right to everyone. But God said, no, that's wrong. And I don't want you to do it anymore. Sure, that's fine. They couldn't do that. So here we have the law of gravity. Before Sir Isaac Newton discovered it, it was in our midst, and we just didn't know it. We didn't realize what it was. And all of a sudden, he discovers it. Now, as I take this analogy of the law of gravity, I'm going to apply this analogy of the law of gravity into the born-again experience. Now, follow me. I don't want to lose you along the way. I believe that you're going to see some things and understand some things that you didn't understand before. I certainly do. It was as if God came down to Abraham and got Abraham and said, Abraham, I have a law for you. It's the law of gravity. I'm going to use the law of gravity in place of what God gave to Abraham to keep. Before that time, gravity, like sin, existed everywhere. In my analogy, the law of lift doesn't exist yet. Only the law of gravity. The law of lift doesn't exist. And so God comes to them and says, okay, Abraham, I want you to fly. What? Yes, I fly. Everyone in my family flies. I want you, Abraham, I want you to fly. And here is the instruction manual for flying. Take it, read it. Oh, and by the way, if you can't do what I just gave you to do, if you can't do it, there's a penalty. That doesn't seem fair. Because like I said, there is no law of lift at that moment. It is absolutely impossible for Abraham to do what God is saying to do. Actually, I should say Moses, because Moses was the one that received the instructions. It was impossible for Moses and the children of Israel to do what God had just told him to do. Impossible. There's no law of lift. But here's the instructions. Do this. Fly. Fly. And all the time, the only law that they know is the law of gravity. We're stuck on this earth. Here's the instruction manual. I'm reading it. The instruction manual says if you do this and this and this, that you can fly. Okay, all right, let's do this. Step one. Okay, we did step one. Step two. Okay, we did step two. Step three. We did step three. Okay, now we're going to fly. Crash. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It said there's a penalty for crashing. Oh my goodness. We did step one. We did step two. We did step three. Crash. Now what do we do? Well, let's offer up the penalty. Now let's try it again. Well, they didn't do that for just a couple of days. They did it for hundreds of years. And every time they did step one, step two, step three, crash. Every time. Every time. Every time. And then one day, someone came to this earth who was of the family of God. He came to this earth and he said, watch me, I can fly. And he showed them how to fly. He showed them how to fly. He showed them how to walk on the water. He showed them how to multiply the loaves and the fish. He showed them how to heal the sick. He showed them how to operate by a law that at that moment was still not in existence yet. The law of the Spirit of life. He was operating as if the law of the Spirit of life was in effect, but he was the one that was going to fulfill the first law and bring about the second. But while he was here, he operated as if the law was in effect. He was flying as if the law of lift was in effect, and it wasn't. So turn over to Luke 16, verse 16. Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Simple as that. Jesus baptized, went down into the water, symbolized his death, burial, and resurrection. The law, over with. Over with. So let's go back to the analogy. When Jesus came to this earth, nobody could keep those instructions. Nobody could fly. Their very best effort was like this. And for those of you that can't see me, you'll understand by the laughter that you're about to hear. They did this. The priests, the Levites, they would run and they would jump in the air and they would say, "We're flying now. Do you see us?" This is what God meant. This is flying. Do you see us? And they would jump and run and try to sail in the air. And they said, "This is what he meant. This is flying." And all the time, God's looking at them saying, "That's not flying." And he said, "Oh yes, this is flying. Believe us. We know. We read the instructions. And see, watch. Fly." And they would land back on the earth again. And they would run again. And they would jump. And they would land back on the earth again. "See, this is flying." He said, "No, it's not. That's not even close. You don't have the ability to fly because there's no law in effect called the law of lift, called the law of the Spirit of life. You can't do it. Plus, you have a nature that won't allow you to do it." And that's what the law was all about. To show them they couldn't do it. And Jesus came. The law ended. He went to the cross. He fulfilled the law of sin and death and enacted the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and provided you with a nature that could keep the law. Now, it's not written on stones. It's been written on your heart. There's been a circumcision that's taken place. They circumcised the male on the outside, but you have a circumcision of the heart on the inside. He's cut away that flesh. He's given you the ability to follow all of the precepts because it's written on your heart now. You don't have to ask somebody, "What's right? What's wrong?" It's in you. You're a different person. You can fly now. You can fly now. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law that you are living by. Just the same way as if God, when Jesus went to the cross, he said, "Okay, now the law of lift is in effect." So he'd go back to the people and he'd say, "Okay, the law of lift is in effect. Did you see how I flew? When you accept what I did for you, You'll receive the same nature that I had. You see, why I could do that was I had a different nature than what you had. I could fly because my nature was that of the people that fly. And now you have that nature because you have been engrafted into my family because we fly. And now you fly. Let me kind of let that sink in for a minute. What does that mean? The law of the Spirit of life. Sin and all of its partners are subject to you. Sin, sickness, disease, poverty, depression, you name it, everything that the people that have the fallen nature are subject to, you are delivered from. Poverty is not of you. It's subject to you. Because you live by a higher law now. It's like this. It's like all of that stuff is of the earth and you can fly. So here we are. Think about what he's done for us. He said, here's the new instruction manual. Oh, by the way, it's written on the inside of you. Oh, and we're also going to provide you with your personal flight instructor. His name is the Holy Ghost. And you have access to your personal flight instructor anytime you want. And he is always in contact with the tower. Always in contact with the tower. And your course is already preset. And all you have to do is allow your instructor to communicate with the tower, and you, my friend, are on your way. And yet we say, what instructor? Instructor? What instructor? Who's the Holy Ghost? Do we really need an instructor? I mean, look how sharp we are. Do we really need some personal assistant who's actually God to instruct us? I mean, really, I do very well with my own decisions. No. We have our personal flight instructor. The instruction manual is written on our heart. And this was the picture that I had. First picture. That I had. Go down to the airfield, Jones Airfield, here locally. Go out on the, where they have all of the little airplanes tied down. That's the picture of most of the body of Christ. Tied down, in bondage, all the time. They have within them the capacity to soar. And yet, they're down sitting in that airfield, tied down, bound. Unwilling to accept any help from anyone, including the Holy Ghost, to get set free. They're just sitting there, tied down. But that's not you, because you came in touch with this message. And one day, flying around, was this ace by the name of Dave Roberson. He was flying around and he saw you tied down on that airstrip. And he came by and he said, you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay bound up on that airstrip anymore. Because because you're free. You just don't know it yet. Here, let me teach you about your personal instructor, the Holy Ghost. Let me teach you how to pray in tongues. Before long, that first band came loose. And that second band came loose. And next thing you know, you're taxiing down the runway. Next thing you know, you lift off. And you think, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. You just take me anywhere you want to go. And you're flying about 2 feet off the ground. And you're just flying. You're thinking, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready, Lord. And you're about 2 feet off the ground. I'm ready, Lord. I've got this part figured out. And you're about 2 feet off the ground. And you're flying around and flying around. You think you're something. And all of a sudden, Dave says, hey, you look a little heavy. You've got some baggage. You've got some baggage there that you're carrying with you from when you used to be that other person. You got to get rid of some of that baggage so you can really fly. And he taught us about praying in tongues. He taught us about fasting. He taught us about all the things to get us set free and get that baggage off of our backs. And then there's been people along the way that said, nope, it don't work. Tried it, it don't work. Yes, it works. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. It works. You just have to do it. Well, when can I stop doing it? When you're all baggage free and you'll be in heaven then. You want to know the baggage I have? If you ask my wife, she won't tell you, but if she did tell you, she could tell you about piles of baggage that I've dumped off along the way. Baggage such as, Mark thinks he's always right. Somewhere the light flicked on and I realized I don't know everything. I don't know much. I know this. If I keep doing this, he can use me more. See, he wants to fly with you into the wild blue yonder. He wants to fly and fly and fly. And see, this is the other picture. While you're flying, you're looking down, and what are you looking at? You're watching those that are still doing this. I'm flying! And they run across and they, I'm flying! See me? And you look down at them and say, those people are crazy. They're not flying. You see, as much as we want everybody to go to heaven, if your nature hasn't changed, you don't get to go. Because you can't fly. Because you're still a subject of the law of sin and death. It's just that way because it is a law. And there hasn't been a higher law enacted in you because you haven't accepted what Jesus did for you. It's just that way. I'm sorry to all the Jewish people. I'm sorry to all of them who haven't accepted what Jesus did for them. I'm sorry to all the people that say that this is who I call God. Well, good for you. You're running around doing this. I'm flying now, and you're not. Just because you try and say that's flying, it ain't flying. The only way you fly is because you have a new nature on the inside of you. That's it. That's it. So in these days that are coming ahead, There's going to be voices from all over. People that you trust that you would never imagine. And I'm not talking about anyone that is local or right here. When I say local, in our body. I'm talking about people that you might see on the TV. People that you just have over the years thought, they know what they're talking about. And they're going to try and say, everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's not going to go to heaven. It just isn't like that. Because there's a law. And until you do something to enact a higher law, the law of the Spirit of life, you can't fly. You can't live and do what God wants you to do. It's impossible. It's impossible. Impossible. So why don't we continue to do the things that we know are going to get more baggage off of us so that we can fly the course that He set for us. I have a course. You have a course. Your instructor knows what that course is. He knows. He knows what that course is. And it's up to you to set yourself down, pray in tongues, allow Him to set your course. He'll go in front of you. He'll clear the way. All you have to do is breathe and walk, and He'll lead you. You don't have to make things happen. You just have to breathe and walk. And when He tells you to do something, do it. We have so many people in the body of Christ who are flying around. I'm just flying around. I'm flying. What's your course? I don't know. I'm just flying around. I'm flying around. Going nowhere. Getting nothing accomplished, just flying around. He has a course for you. Gee, why don't I get on that course? Why don't I do what He wants me to do? Go where He wants me to go. Say what He wants me to say. And fulfill that course. Because that's what He made you to do. And when we all do what we're supposed to do, we have a many-membered body receiving revival, walking into all the earth, taking this message to those who are still subjects of the law of sin and death, and we're getting them free, and we're teaching them how to fly, getting them filled with the Holy Ghost, showing them how to pray in tongues, showing them how to get that baggage off of them. But Mark, I'm tired of doing this message. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so weary. I don't want to do it anymore. I still want to do this message. I want to do it. I've seen the results over the course of my life. Not over 2 years or 5 years. I heard this message about mortification and edification in 1990 after I got saved. I heard it. It changed me. And it has tracked me down over the years until the Holy Ghost led me to this place. I have absolutely no doubt in the validity of what's taught here. I have absolutely no doubt in the change that can take place. I have no doubt in how it can set your course. If you knew me and my wife, and you sat and talked to us, and we could in detail explain to you how he's led us strategically. It was almost like, if you look at it, it looks like a surgeon doing an operation with such precision as he walked us through our life to this moment. But if you took a day, a week, a month out of that 10 years and said, what about this? You could never see it. You would never understand it. In one snapshot, you've got to look at the full-length movie, and then you can see it. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to walk out of this place and realize you can fly. That you can do everything that he's told you that you can do. You can do it. Oh, there's one thing. It takes faith. That's the fuel that you put in your engine to fly by. It's faith. It's faith. Those that walked according to the law of sin and death, they don't have it because their generator doesn't produce it. It produces fear. But you have a generator on the inside of you that puts out the stuff. All you got to do is put the word in, and the result is faith. And it's going to fuel your little plane, and you're going to fly through life. Not because you did anything, it's because he did it all and gave it to you and said, receive it by faith. I remember when Debbie got her diagnosis, and the thought that the enemy hit me with instantly was, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve to receive this for your wife. You don't deserve it. Look at you. What have you ever done? You're just kind of a failure going somewhere to fail. You don't deserve it. It doesn't matter what I deserve. Jesus paid it for me. All I have to do is believe, release faith, and that works. I can assure you it works, or she wouldn't be here. Gary asked something of us, oh, it's been months now. And he did it in a way that, in his loving way, he was smacking us. And he said, how about your own personal petitions at home? Your petitions? What petitions? You know, the things you're asking God for, the things that you've asked him for, that you believe you receive it, and you're standing in faith until they manifest. How's that going? How is that going, by the way? Did you hear him? Because that was the Holy Ghost. And he was telling you, if you don't have that, get it. Sit down. What is it that you need from the Lord? Ask him. According to Mark 11:24, believe at that moment in time you receive it. Believe it. I receive it now. And from this point on, my confession is, thank you, Jesus. I believe that I have received it, whatever it is, on this date, at this time, I received it, and I thank you for it. And I can assure you, if you will not turn loose of that, and if you will hold on to it, and confess scriptures that will help support that inside of you, when you get to the place that you believe it, you'll have it. That's how we, my wife and I, live now. It's how we live now. Everything that we get the rest of our life, we're going to get it this way. Ask Him, believe that I receive it. And we've seen things that we had one day that was just almost too much. I'm not kidding you. It was almost too much what God did in one day. One day. And He wants to do it for you too. If you need a job, ask Him. If you need food, ask Him. Whatever you need, ask Him. Believe you receive it. And thank Him for it from that moment on until you see it in your hands. Did you receive something today? Can you fly? Yes, you can. We'll see you in 30 minutes.